we went out for lunch when we were in Nashville with our friend, and we went out to a Japanese place where they served the best sushi that you ever get at an all-you-can-eat sushi buffet. And usually I'm not into sushi at buffets because it's not very good, but this was amazing. These guys were amazing. $7.99, all you could eat. You guys feeling hungry? Ooh, it's my birthday. Anyway, just kidding. I'm just throwing that out there for you. But anyway, so we're eating sushi, and afterwards it's a Japanese restaurant, so they give us these fortune cookies, you know. So some of us, you know, from our old days when we were real opposed to anything that even smacked of you know, heathen religions and so forth, we take the fortune cookie and just crush it on the table, like, be gone with you, you devil. But we decided to eat the fortune cookies this time and just joke around, just open them up and see what they said. Mine said something about tonight being a romantic night. I was really pleased about that when I thought it was it's my birthday, you know. Anyway, so the other ones weren't all that impressive, and but I sat there and I thought about how people actually, some people really take those things seriously. I mean, I know that you think, well, who would take a fortune cookie seriously? Actually, people really do. I mean, they look for signs like that, for confirmations of the things that they want and they desire in life, and it's there, Jesus, if you're real, let me sit on your right or on your left. It's that moment in their life. They are just so wanting to be elevated in their own expectation, in their own desires. And so they come to God with this expectation that he's going to say, sure, go ahead, be selfish. In fact, be selfish right next to me. Come sit here and be selfish for all eternity. And we'll just, you know, look at you and smile once in a while and wave and say, you see him? That's, yeah, great guy right there. I know him. He knows me. We're like this. No, friends, but that's how we come to God, and we're looking for the fortune cookie that tells us that, yes, the Lord's going to give us what we want. And that's why people are so out there. They're not serving Jesus. They don't want to believe in God because God said no. I'm just saying, you don't even know what you're asking for. You say, Lord, I want to be rich and famous. Jesus says, you don't even know what you're asking for. Because, you know, the rich and famous people who you think are so much better than you, actually, if you really knew their lives, you probably wouldn't trade yours for theirs. You don't know what you're asking. And this is what Jesus is trying to get across to us. He says, listen, guys, before you ask something, why don't you run it through the filter of selfish, unselfish, and see what comes out? If you're doing this to exalt yourself, then maybe you should just rather not ask that. Because quite honestly, the mission is still the same. Jesus is still saying, take up your cross daily and follow me. Deny yourself and follow me. And if your desire for riches, for wealth, for fame, for, you know, whatever it might be, if that desire is selfish, then you're just going to get a no from the Lord. And if Satan gives you what you're looking for, it comes at a great price. Because he always requires that you bow down and worship him. He'll give you the world on a silver platter. But you got to bow down and worship him for it. God is not like that. God doesn't say, worship me and I'll give you whatever you want. Because if he was, he'd be just like the devil. God says, worship me and take what I give you. And be faithful with what I give you. And in the regeneration, you will receive the reward. But for now, do it because it's the right thing to do. Do it because you want me to be exalted. Because that's unselfishness. And unselfishness is the nature of the Godhead. And therefore must be the nature of those who are welcomed in to the family of God. Unselfishness is what we're all about. So don't come to church looking for a fortune cookie to give you the confirmation you need to live your selfish life. How about you come to church and say, Lord, what is it that you require of me? Because Jesus says, you will indeed drink the cup. But it's not a nice cup. And he says to James and John, because he knows them, he knows that they'll get over this selfishness. And they actually end up being really awesome guys. I just want you to know, not to diminish what they did. I'm so glad that Matthew included and Mark included that story. You know, Luke and John don't include the stories. They include the lesson, but not the story about these guys who came, you know, trying to nudge everybody out the way. But I'm glad that it's there for us, because what it does is it gives us a sort of almost a lighthearted look at our foolish human nature. And at the same time, this really, really profound message from Jesus that that's just not the way the kingdom's going to operate. So, you know, God says to us, listen, drink the cup and be baptized with the baptism, and then the glory. That's when it'll come. Let's make sure we have the timeline right. So those of you who ask God for something and something else happens to you, like friends of mine, you know, a friend of mine who prayed for healing for his wife and his wife passed away. And it was so hard. You know, he'd been listening to Andrew Womack and Andrew Womack's sermons, which were just so, you know, go, 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 rah, 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 faith, 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 God will give you everything you want kind of thing. And his faith was not robust because in the moment when suffering happened, he was devastated. And he couldn't understand why a God who loved him would take away the one person most precious to him in the whole world. And I want to tell you that God said, Jesus said, in this world you will have suffering. You will have difficulty. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. What he promised us is not that we'll be free from storms. He promised us that we'll stand in the storm if we build ourselves on the rock. Build your faith on the rock and you'll stand every storm. He's not taking away the storms, folks. Your faith needs to be so robust that no matter what storm comes, no matter what happens in your life, God forbid, but if you were to lose the most precious things and people, that it would not cause your faith to falter. For my friends, listen to this. Suffering first, then the glory. Suffering first, then the glory. Now you say, Eric, I don't think I like what you're preaching because... that doesn't sound good, and I hope that you don't, you know, have to live what you're preaching. I'm not talking about, you know, God's going to just pour out sickness and disease on you, and he's going to take away all your money and stuff. I'm not talking about that. No, 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 no. Listen, that stuff happens in the world. You know, markets fluctuate, go up and down. People get sick, people get well. That stuff happens, and it happens to everybody. So don't go there. What I'm telling you is that the Lord may require something of you as you pursue his kingdom that costs you something precious to you. Be willing to give it up, because those who give up father and mother and brothers and sisters and lands and so forth will receive 100-fold and be glorified and receive honor in the kingdom that is to come when Jesus is enthroned. I'm talking about giving up stuff for the kingdom's sake. Okay? Not everything that you go through is suffering that the Lord intended. Sometimes the devil's just after you. Okay? Let's just make sure we get this clear. Sometimes the devil's after you and you need to kick the devil to the curb. You need to say, no, the Lord says that he took my iniquity and he took my sin and I'm healed by his wounds. So you know what, whether that's physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing, mental healing, I'm taking that as healing. Thank you, God, as a promise, and I'm going to say no to the devil. But if in your prayers for deliverance from whatever it is you're going through, the answer comes back as no, then my friends, be like Paul and say, his grace is sufficient for me. His grace is sufficient for me. I said the title of the sermon is You Don't Know What You're Asking For. We're asking the Lord for a lot. Most of us are saying, Lord, I love you. I want to serve you. Help me to serve you. I give you my life. I give you everything. And Jesus says, you don't know what you're asking for. You say, no, but really, Lord, I want to be honorable in your kingdom. I want to be recognized as somebody who really, truly loves you. And Jesus says, well, truth is that requires that you give up your idols. You sell all you have and give it. Come and follow me. He says, I just don't think you know what you're asking for. My friends, before we ask, let's think. And when it comes to the Lord's glory, ask for the impossible. I'm asking for those gang members to get saved. And I'm asking the Lord for them to be completely turned around and for them to be the key that unlocks the entire community. You say, that's impossible, Eric. No, it's not. David Wilkerson did it. If they happen to come here in this church, don't look at them and say, oh, you're the guys he was talking about. Okay, just don't. Please. Don't do that. Don't reject them. Love them. Doesn't matter if you think they're dangerous. Don't clutch your bag closer. If they take your bag, I'll give you a new one. I'm serious, guys. I'm serious. If something gets taken from you, if we make ourselves vulnerable and we get taken advantage of, it's for the kingdom's sake. Listen to what I'm telling you. I'm not asking us to be foolish. But I am asking us not to cling on to what we think is ours at the expense of those who may come to Christ because of it. Because if you hold on to your security, somebody's going to die. Let them take my life. I know where I'm going. I want to know where they're going. And our lives traded for theirs. Jesus said he came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. If we are true disciples of Jesus Christ, then we must be willing to give our lives as a ransom for many. Think about the ransom principle. Think about when somebody kidnaps somebody else and they require a ransom. If they require a person as the ransom, they trade the person they have for the person they want. The same evil people get the person who's traded in ransom. And the person who gives his life as a ransom for others gets killed. Jesus did that. And he wasn't talking about figurative death. He was talking about not loving his life to death, even till the death. The Bible says that we will overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and by not loving our lives even unto death. We will never reach our community until we are ready and willing to surrender our security for them. Now, the need is too great for any one of us, but nothing is impossible for God. So I challenge you, my friends, what is it that you're asking God for? And why are you asking for that? I love to drive a nice car. But if I can reach more people by driving a broken down car, then so be it. And the same thing is true in flip, in the reverse. If I can win more people by driving a nice car, then I'll drive a nice car. But the goal is to win the people. Let us become all things to all men that we might win some. This is the gospel. For all flesh is as grass, the flower of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown in the furnace. But the word of the Lord shall endure forever. This is the word which by the gospel was preached to us. Let us cling to that. And let us make ourselves servants and slaves. Let's pray. Lord, I don't actually know what I'm asking for. I think I can see that clearly. When we asked for this community, we didn't know what we were asking for. We wanted the glory. We want to see people happy and laughing and clapping and worshiping Jesus. And that is the goal. But before that may come hard work and sacrifice. And I think what I was asking was, can we have the glory without all that hard work and sacrifice, Lord? It's kind of where I was headed, but clearly your word is teaching us something different. So Father, I'm asking that you would give us the courage to say yes to you. For this is the kingdom of God. It's our custom here at Living Home Family Church to give an opportunity, an altar call for those of you who might be in attendance who have not asked Jesus to be Lord of your heart and Lord of your life. And let me just briefly say this, that the greatest thing that ever happened to me was the day I asked Jesus to come into my heart and make me new. In that day, he forgave me of my sin. Not only the sins I had committed, which some would say were not many because I was only 6 years old, But he forgave me of all the sins I would commit and still will commit. And more than just forgiving me of my sin, he took the dead heart, the heart that was a nature of sin, he took it out of me and he gave me his own heart. He gave me his nature and he breathed life into me and gave me a new hope. And that's the best day of my life. And I want you to know that God is calling you, and he wants you to know that he loves you. He wants you to know that his heart is for you to be saved from your sin. You know your sin. I don't have to tell you what it is. You already know. That's also part of what God's given us, the great gift of the Holy Spirit who convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So every one of us in this room and everyone listening to my voice knows that they're a sinner, that sin is part of the nature of you and part of the nature of this world. Until Christ comes and sets us free from that and gives us new life, we are destined to an eternal failure. And I want you to know that I don't need to tell you about your sin. God's already told you about that. But I want to tell you that Jesus has come to save you from your sins. That's the power of this gospel, that he can take what is broken and dead and he can put it together and give it life. And you are that broken and dead person that Jesus wants to breathe life into today. And the Bible tells us, amongst other things, that really, it's the grace of God that brings us to repentance. It's his kindness that brings us to a place of repentance. And repentance is essentially turning from our sin. It's not just saying sorry for our sin, but it's actually turning from that. And that's a hard thing to do, but it's the kindness of God that leads us there. So recognize the kindness of God in this, that he loves you. And he's given his son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price so you don't have to. You say, well, how do I make that my own? Well, I'll tell you how it happened to me. There was a pastor who asked if anybody wanted to give their heart to Jesus, and I raised my hand, and then he prayed with me. And it may sound crazy, but a simple prayer was all that God was looking for, an acknowledgement in my heart, a recognition that God is real, and that my sin could be forgiven, and that Jesus would really genuinely come and live inside of me. And that was it, an invitation, and he was in. And he's been with me ever since. And he will hold me forever. He will never leave me or forsake me. And when it comes time to enter into eternity, I will be welcomed into the very life, the abundant life that God has prepared for those who love him, because Jesus will be my advocate before the Father. And I'm telling you today, the same thing can happen for you. It can be as simple as a prayer. Now, obviously, the prayer itself is not magical. It's the attitude of your heart that says, Lord, I'm turning to you. That's really what it's all about. But it starts with a prayer. It's the beginning of a journey. An oak tree starts as a seed, an acorn. And maybe that's kind of what we need to see today, is that the seed of faith can be sown in your heart today through your acknowledgement of Jesus Christ, that he lived, that he died, that he was buried, that he was raised from the grave because God loves you and because God wants to save you. So let me offer you the same invitation that was offered to me. And if there's anybody in the room who feels that they'd like to respond to that invitation, I'll ask you to raise your hand. If there's anybody here right now, or if you're listening, of course we can't see your hand, but God can. If there's anybody here today who'd like to give their heart to Jesus, just raise your hand and I'll pray with you. Anybody at all? Well, in the event that somebody has raised their hand, I don't see anybody sitting here who's done that right now, but maybe somebody's listening. In the event that you're listening and you raised your hand, I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me. Repeat these words after me, a simple prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm a sinner. I recognize that I have fallen from your grace, and I am dead on the inside. I cannot save myself, and I cannot pay for my sin. Oh God, please save me. Jesus Christ, I acknowledge you. I recognize that you lived and died for me, and that you were raised from the grave for me. I ask you to come into my heart and to make me new. I give myself to you because you gave yourself to me. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you asked Jesus to come into your heart today, I want to invite you to talk to me about it. Email me, pastor@livinghopefamilychurch.com. You send me an email and I'll send you a Bible. You send me an email. If you live close by, we'll have lunch. We'll get together. You come, let's talk about it. If you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart today, tell someone, because that's how your journey is going to begin.